Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. It's being called Medicine for the Soul, a new book well-nourished, mindful practices to heal your relationship with food, feed your whole self, and end overeating. The first book from internationally renowned teacher, trainer, and coach Andrea Lieberstein. The book asks the question, are you well-nourished? Not just your body, but your whole self, or do you hunger for something more? What if you led a life where you felt nourished physically, emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, socially, spiritually, creatively, and you no longer have to turn to food to find what you're seeking? Well-Nourished offers the tools to get on track to living a balanced, happy, and well-nourished life. Andrea is a mindfulness expert and registered dietitian, nutritionist, speaker, trainer, coach, over 20 years of experience, a leader in mindful eating trainings and retreats, working online and in-person private practice with individuals and groups on a range of nutritional and lifestyle challenges, from stress-related and emotional eating to body image issues to healthy weight management and mindful living. She has degrees from Stanford University and the University of California at Berkeley. Andrea Lieberstein, author of Well-Nourished, Mindful Practices to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Feed Your Whole Self, and End Overeating, with us on This Week in America. Andrea, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's so great to be here.
This is such a powerful book, and let's start off by talking about how this came about. This has been, I understand, what, 25 years basically in the works as it's evolved as you've been working with your clients over the years, and the result of that is Well-Nourished.
Yes, yes. I'm really, really thrilled that I've been able to write this book, publish this book, and it has been 25 years in the making, and it really got going when the publisher contacted me several years ago and said, we want you to write a book, Mindful Eating. And then it quickly evolved into not just mindful eating, but the bigger question of nourishment, nourishing our whole self. Because that's what my work has really been, you know, all these years. And nutrition, healthy lifestyles, physical nourishment is, of course, so essential, so
right.
Core. But nourishing all the parts of ourselves is really important too. You know, we are as human beings, we are unique in that we have all of these aspects of ourselves, just beyond physical nourishment, that we need: our creative nourishment, intellectual nourishment, spiritual nourishment, and for every person, of course, social nourishment, and, you know, making our difference and contribution in our own unique ways in our lives. And that looks different for every person, what that kind of unique recipe, how much of these different areas are expressed in one's life and being nourished and need to be nourished to feel fulfilled.
Yes, and if somebody says nourishment, you immediately think of food. And one of the first things we learn in the book, Well-Nourished, is that nourishment comes from many sources. Many found that what they're looking for is another fulfillment other than food. So once they start looking, it's like, wait a minute, food really isn't the answer, is it?
Right. And it is, unfortunately, so much often the number one go-to place for people for nourishment to help soothe away or comfort away stress, you know, challenging emotions. We have so many people that are, you know, emotional or stress-related eaters, or just feeling frustrated, maybe, you know, not getting that creative project done that you so wanted to do. And then that frustration gets channeled into eating. And we associate food, most of us, with comfort from a young age. So
yes.
It's kind of natural that it can become this go-to, and it's easy, it's there. But unless we need it, we're physically hungry, and also that we're present for it, so we're actually enjoying it, it's not going to nourish us in the ways we're looking for.
I want to talk about the whole concept of mindfulness. We hear that thrown around so often, and sometimes I think I'm not real clear exactly what mindfulness is. Explain exactly what mindfulness is, because it's the whole basis of the concept of well-nourished.
Right, right. So in its simplest form, and the mindfulness, it's true that so many, kind of an umbrella, in a way
yes.
it's an umbrella
yes.
term. So it's a particular way of paying attention, of bringing awareness to the moment. It's a kind, non-judging, non-reactive, present-oriented attention that we bring to our experience, to the moments of our lives. That this way of paying attention, we can bring that to our eating, to our living, to what I call bringing. What are we bringing to the table when we feel that urge to eat, or we have and there's so many eating triggers out there, right? When we're not
yes.
really hungry in our environment. But what are we bringing to the table? And so when we cultivate this mindful awareness, and there are formal practices to do so, to help us be more mindful. And we know from research that actually our brain changes in very positive ways when we practice mindfulness meditation. And so we can turn this attention also to what's happening inside. You know, what thoughts, what beliefs, what emotions, what's present, what are we bringing to the table that might be informing our eating in a way, or wanting to eat, or that craving or desire that's not really helpful for us.
And in your book, you give us tools, you guide us through the entire process. The book we're talking about is Well-Nourished, Mindful Practices to Heal Your Relationship with Food, Feed Your Whole Self, and End Overeating. Andrea Lieberstein, the author, our guest on the program. Her website is yourwellnourishedlife.com. The book is available there. It's available at the usual places all across the country. And, of course, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on. Let's talk a little bit about getting started. People may be listening and going, boy, that makes sense. When I go for that last piece of pizza, that may be not the nourishment that I'm looking for. And you say basically change begins one step at a time. It's going to take some time to unravel all these bad habits, isn't it?
Yes, it takes time. What I always recommend is just getting started with a simple practice of mindfulness meditation, and it can be 10 minutes a day even, where we begin by focusing on the breath. But I do recommend, so a lot of people will say, well, I can't meditate. I read it out of a book, or I heard a tape. But really working with a teacher to learn the practice, it's very simple, actually. Simple and yet not simple. Takes practice. And then we start to cultivate this way of being, this more kind, compassionate way of being with ourselves, and we bring that into the moments of our lives, into all those choice points that we have. You know, it's been estimated through research that we make 200 choices a day, food choices a day, so many of them not even conscious, or just automatic triggers. So starting
exactly.
to bring more mindfulness, and then checking in. So in my book, it does go through how some steps to mindfulness meditation. It goes through the mindful check-in. How do we check in the moment to what we're bringing? And then when we're, you know, wanting to eat out of big emotions? What's happening with our thoughts? And then there's practices. There's 7 steps to mindful eating, where when we decide to eat mindfully, yes, this is what I am hungry, or, you know, or maybe I just really want to try my mother-in-law's delicious brownies, and I'm going to, you know, really enjoy it. I'm not going to feel guilty. I shouldn't have that food, because, by the way, as you know, so many people bring to the table a whole litany of judging thoughts and, oh, is this good food, bad food, from all that history of dieting that so many people have. So mindful eating is about, it's not a diet. It's about really embracing, you know, knowing enough about healthy nutrition, informing yourself, and then I like to call it always foods and sometimes foods. So, yes, eat a diet that makes you feel good, that works for your body, your taste, preferences, needs, and of course our genetics also. We digest foods differently. We might have different health needs. And then And then have your sometimes foods and let them be okay. You can include them in your diet, but at least eat them mindfully. And when we eat mindfully, so these seven steps are about how to be really present with your food, enjoying it with all your senses. And then when we do this, and there's exercises in the book how to do that, in my retreats and workshops, my coaching, we always go through these basic fundamental practices of being present, and we find that there's so much more enjoyment and nourishment, emotional, psychological, and physical satisfaction when we're present. And we actually become satisfied with less when we eat in this way. We're more present, and we're tuned into our own hunger and fullness signals, which so many of us just tend to, we're not really taught necessarily how to pay attention. There's so much happening on the outside, food triggers and conversation, and that we don't really tune in. So we go through practices of how to really, really listen, be able to listen to yourself and know when it's, you know, other, when it's needing something else. So one of the key questions is, like, what, when we do that mindful check-in, what am I truly hungry for? What do I really need right now? And as you mentioned, small change happens one step
yes.
at a time. So we do look at what are the other, you know, we go through, there's these great assessment questions in each chapter as we look at what I call the different bodies, social body, emotional, psychological body. What, how nourished is this body? What are we missing? And what are the small steps we might take to begin to bring in more nourishment through all the skills, the tools, there's so many different lifestyle suggestions and practices to try to be, to increase nourishment in these areas. But we don't have to do everything at once. We may not need to do everything, but we choose, we prioritize. And in a few of these areas, what is most calling us, where we feel most energy around, and then start to make some small steps in this direction. So mindful eating is the first part of the book. It's kind of, we establish this basis, teach the fundamental tools of how we bring, how we tune into our body and make choices that are healthy and nourishing for ourselves, still being able to include the foods that are, you know, traditionally labeled bad, but eat them in a mindful way where we're not overeating, and they become more sometimes treat foods. We don't, you know, I work with so many people that have this litany of judgment and suffering around it, and it really does break my heart. But what is so wonderful is change happens pretty quickly.
The book is called Well Nourished.
Yes.
Yeah, and you guide us through that. That's really the nice thing. And so many keys, so many tools. One you talk about is self-kindness. You say that can be a great companion on the journey, and you will revisit it often. Talk about that, because that's sort of something that we really don't focus on, do we? The self-kindness aspect of our lives.
Yes, it's so important. And I really see it as one of the biggest tools to healing. Relationship with food, relationship with self, being more happy and living a more joyful life, being more compassionate to others too. It naturally follows from being more self-kind. Yeah, so when we develop a more kind voice to ourselves, we allow that becomes stronger than the judgments through mindful practices. We still may have judgments arising, but they fade more to the background.
Yes.
Or we can see them clearly and say, no, thank you. thank you. No, I don't need you now. So kindness, we develop a very kind way of being with ourselves. And what we found through self-compassion research is that when we start to be kinder to ourselves, it starts really with that, the voices, the litany, the conversation in our head. We notice that. We notice that we're judging ourselves, that we're suffering in some way. We can acknowledge that, you know, I'm not alone in this. We all do this. And then bringing a sense of kindness and compassion to yourself. And bringing a hand to the heart is a really wonderful way to do this. There's been some research on this. Kristen Neff talks, she's done a lot of self-compassion research and talks about how this brings a sense of, actually stimulates oxytocin, which is a hormone of bonding, of comfort, even of love. So bringing a hand on the heart or even anywhere in the body, even kind of surreptitiously in the middle of social situation, can start to calm the body, bring a sense of kindness. And then you can bring phrases in that in the book we work on, your kind phrases to yourself that are actually really powerful. They can shift your mood in the moment. That judging voice can kind of melt away, fade to the background. And self-kindness, and here's what's really exciting. This is a much greater motivator, we find this through research, to change, to taking self-caring steps for ourselves than the judging mind, than the taskmaster, than the whip. We actually are more apt to, when we start practicing being kind to ourselves, we want, it's positive feedback loop, and we want to start, you know, moving more, exercising more, doing that project that we've put off that's so meaningful to us that we really, maybe it's some way that we really want to make a difference in the world and we haven't made those steps yet for that project or new job or training. And we start to just honor ourselves more. We want to take better care of our bodies. We want to nourish ourselves more with the things that really light us up. So yes, that is really key. It is throughout the book.
More with Andrea Lieberstein, author of Well Nourished, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.